Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
It is indeed the Odd Couple. I am Chris. He is Rob. We're coming to you live from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio studios. You can call 1-888-FARMERS to switch, and you can save on your car insurance. What else are you going to do with your phone over the next few minutes? Look at pictures of food your friends ate? Nah. Call 1-888-FARMERS for a quote.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Take that for data.
All right, we got Randy Mueller, the former NFL Executive of the Year and the host of the Football GM podcast, joining us at the bottom of the hour. And we are going to start in the NFL. But, Rob, quickly, I wanted to throw this out at you, Rob. We ended that last hour with Utah, and their fans are upset and they're feeling disrespected because Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell were the last players picked in the draft. I'm going to say this, Rob, and I'd like your opinion. LeBron poked the bear. Now, I don't think Utah's good enough to make it matter. But if they did that to the Clippers or some other team, like I would think Utah would want to use that as fuel to go out in the second half and really show them something. But I think they'll play well, but I don't think they're good enough to beat the Lakers in the playoffs. But what is your thought on that? Because they had no – it's almost like they did it on purpose. At one point, LeBron said, yo, I need some size. I got to get some size on my team. And he picked Domantas Sabonis from Indiana over Rudy Gobert. What's your thought on that?
I don't know. I mean, I expect Utah fans to respond the way that they have. I mean, they got the best
record
in the West.
Are their players good enough to do something about, you know what I mean? Like, I would feel completely disrespected. I'm not saying it's going to fuel you the whole second half of the season, but, you know, players get fueled by all types of things. Yeah. You know, that's major disrespect.
Yeah, I just don't know if there's anything you could do about it, you know what I mean? Like right. I don't know
they
how you can
be
carry
better players.
Through. Yeah, I mean those guys, they are who they are. Nobody thinks that they're in contention for anything, so I don't think there's anything really that they can do to counter it other than beat the Lakers in the playoffs and then say we are better. You know what I mean?
They beat them in the playoffs. Believe
it.
That will come up. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but
I mean,
just
but
don't
they
think
have
they're
to
good
do
enough.
It. You know what right. I mean? They'd have to do it.
All right, in the NFL, the Steelers signed Big Ben. One more year, one more run. Your thoughts? Smart? Dumb?
I just think it's dumb. I mean, I think he's done. I think that they're just, you know, were left in a bad spot. They didn't really make plans. I guess they were 11-0, or they didn't think that he would fall off the cliff, the proverbial cliff at the end of the year. Didn't look good. The playoff loss to the Browns. I don't know. I just think he looks done to me. And all the other quarterbacks in the division are younger. And I think the Steelers, whether they want to believe it or not, are heading the other way. I think he's trending the wrong way. And eventually you're going to have to make a decision and do something else. So why not just do it now?
Yeah, I think they certainly think they're a playoff team, and they probably feel like, look, get to the tournament and we'll see what happens. You know, I think a lot of teams feel that way. I certainly don't expect them to contend for the Super Bowl, but I would not be shocked if they made the playoffs. Mike Tomlin's never had a losing record. Bill Cowher only had three in his 14 years. So that's 29 years where they've had three losing records. So they don't really rebuild, they reload, and I think this gives them a year. I think the defense could be strong. They need to strengthen their running game. It was the worst in the NFL. That's why Ben had to throw it over 600 times. If you're a Steelers fan, you got to hope they can get a running game and get some balance in the offense. And ideally for them, Dwayne Haskins being in a new environment, being in a very stable franchise with a good coach, their hope, I'm sure, is that a year under Roethlisberger, not that Roethlisberger is the greatest role model, but a year behind Ben as the backup there, he, you know, can come of age, so to speak, and become the player that people think he was when he was in the draft. And I'm sure that's their best case scenario. So I think it gives them a little cushion. It gives them a little leeway. It gives them a little time to figure out what their next step is. And I give them a shot. We're not making our picks now, but I give them a shot to make the playoffs next year and with Ben. So I think it was the right move since I don't feel like they had any viable alternatives.
Well, you got to make your way, all right? You got to take a look at it. If you picked up Haskins, maybe he has some talent. Maybe you could coach him up.
Right.
And maybe you could get somebody, you take somebody off a scrap heap of some other team, and you make something out of them. I mean, as a coach, you might show you that you have the ability to make somebody better and get something out of them. The kid's looking for another chance. He got run out of Washington. He was immature. He wasn't ready. And you never know. He might have something going and decide that I'm going to, put my all into it and I want to save my football career. Because if he goes to Pittsburgh and nothing comes of it, he's probably going to be finished. And that's a guy who played at a high level at Ohio State, who was drafted in the first round to his hometown team. If he has any pride or anything, it could be where you grab a guy who has a lot to prove. Obviously, he has to have some talent to play at Ohio State, to play at that level, and to be a first pick and first round pick in the NFL.
Right. Now, I like that move by them. I mean, I think you got him on the cheap. Like you said, you figured he'd be humbled, right? He'd be open, all ears, ready to learn like a sponge. And they're obviously a good franchise that does know how to develop players. And so I think that's a great move. I would not want to start him day one, which obviously they don't either. But with a year in my program, a year in my building, if I'm the Steelers, I'm feeling really good about that. So, yeah, I like I said, that's why I like this move. If they didn't bring him back, then you either have to throw Haskins into the fire or go with Mason Rudolph. And you're probably looking at a mediocre season at best in that case. So I like what they did, even as I know Ben is, on his last legs. All right, let's stick with quarterbacks, Rob. And your GOAT, I believe, right? Joe Montana, you got him as the GOAT, right?
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
Oh, he's not? It's not definitive?
I'm just tired of the conversation. So, yeah, if I had to do it, yeah, he's the GOAT to me.
Well, he was on First Take yesterday, our friend Stephen A. Smith. Do we have sound of this, Rob G, or we got to read it? Okay, here's what he said about when he was asked, is Tom Brady the GOAT?
I think Tom has, taken his place on the top up there a long time ago. So he's had a tremendous career. It's fun to watch, and everybody always contests over that. But I think if you look at what Tom's been able to accomplish in his time that he's played, I think it's, puts him definitely up there in the top of the list.
All right, do you think Montana's just being politically correct, or do you think he really believes Tom Brady is the GOAT?
That was
and
is,
does it matter anything?
He didn't say anything there. Oh, he put him at the top of the list. It wasn't some definitive like, oh my God, what question are you asking me? How can you ask somebody who's in the conversation to say whether or not he's the GOAT? How would that come off? I just don't understand how he could answer that question. So I don't really read anything into what he said. You get asked that. What are you supposed to say? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, Tom. No, it's me. Let me read my resume. Let me show you what I've done. Let me read down my stats. Let me tell you I was 4-0 in the Super Bowl. How do you win when somebody asks you that question? I don't think that there was any other answer other than to pacify people who wanted you to say that it was Tom Brady.
Oh, I totally disagree. There are many ways he could have answered that. Like most guys, if you ask Kareem, if you ask Jordan, if you ask, any of the guys in the conversation, other than LeBron, who said he's the GOAT, but you ask most guys in the conversation, and they say, look, there's so many great players, you know, and the eras are different. It's hard to compare. You know, you can't even say who's the GOAT. If you ask Jordan, that's what he would say. Something to that effect. You know, there is no GOAT. You can't say who's the GOAT. That's for you guys to figure out. That's all. You can say stuff like that, or you can joke. You can say it like if Montana had said, "Come on, guys, look who you're talking to," and laughed, or, "Hey, guys, I was 4-0 in the Super Bowl." You know, just something kind of lighthearted, but you're getting your point across that, hey, don't leave me out of this, or I don't think it's Brady. There's a number of ways he could have answered it. He didn't come out and say Tom Brady is the GOAT, but he said, "I think Tom is taking his place on the top up there a long time ago." He said, "If you're looking at it, yeah, definitely Tom at that point." Like, he said it. Now, we whether he meant it or not, he said it. I'm telling you, if Michael Jordan was asked, "Is LeBron the GOAT?" And he said, "Oh, I think LeBron has taken his place on the top up there a long time ago." If you're looking at it, yeah, LeBron at that point. That'd be a huge story. We'd be saying even Michael says LeBron is the GOAT. So I do think this is something. I think he said what to me is obvious. Tom Brady is the GOAT. And Joe Montana admitted it. That is right. What – go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, if that's the way you feel, I don't see it that way. I just think it's – I don't think he had anything else to say. He's trying to be polite. He's not trying to be – he's not braggadocious. He's never been that guy. I just don't see him in that light. I think he just was – he's in that situation. What is he going to say? He's going to sit there and make a case for himself. I just think that cheapens what he did, what he was able to accomplish by trying to throw his statistics up and put him up against Brady. So I just think he just was being nice. And I know Tom Brady idolized him as a kid, so I'm sure they have some sort of relationship, and they probably joke about it. But I don't think that it's something that when he talked about it, he wasn't even said what he did it years ago. He said that he was the GOAT or whatever. So what does that mean?
I think Tom has taken his place on the top up there a long time ago.
Yeah, so
maybe championship number 6, championship number 5. Maybe that's what he was thinking. But it sounds to me like he gave Brady the nod. What do you guys think? 877-99 on Fox. 877-996-6369. Do you think that Joe Montana was calling Tom Brady the GOAT? And does that matter? Does that change things? Does that make it official that Tom Brady is the GOAT? Your turn to weigh in. 877-99 on Fox. Chris and Rob, the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, 3-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Hushmanzada, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Call 1-888-FARMERS and you could save on your auto insurance. What else are you going to do with your phone in the next few minutes? Look at photos of things other people ate? Call 1-888-FARMERS to get a quote.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck Fire Insurance Exchanges or affiliate. Products not available in every state.
All right, it's the Odd Couple on a TV theme song Thursday. We're coming to you live from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio studios. Call 1-888-FARMERS and you can save a whole lot of something money on your car insurance. We're also brought to you by Discover Card. Discover matches all the cash back that you've earned at the end of your first year. It's like they're cramming a full year's worth of cash back into one of those cash-shaped birthday cards. You've seen them, trust me. Cashback match only by Discover Card. Learn more at discover.com/match. Discover something brighter. All right, we got Randy Mueller, the former NFL Executive of the Year, coming up in about 9 minutes. But before we get to him, we want to take your calls. Was Joe Montana, when he seemed to allude to Tom Brady as the GOAT, was he being politically correct? Was he being nice? Or was he really saying Brady's the GOAT? And what does that mean to you? Your turn to weigh in, 877-99 on Fox.
All right, Patrick in Baltimore, you're on the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio. What's up?
Hey, good evening, gentlemen. How y'all doing?
We are great, man. How are you?
I'm doing fine, doing fine. Let me just say, I am a Joe Montana guy. I grew up, I'm in my mid-40s, so I have a bias. So let me just put that on the table. I have a bias. I think Joe Montana's the GOAT. And so I want to think that he was being politically correct. Like, he wasn't just trash Brady, or even he's not the kind of guy that would be braggadocious. But I got to share, you know, a few weeks ago, right after the Super Bowl, Nick Wright on First Things First, he put up this statistic, and you know, he's not really a Tom Brady guy, but he put this up and said that basically Tom Brady, from a statistical standpoint, has had three Hall of Fame careers. His first 7 years match up with John Elway's whole career. He actually won one more Super Bowl. He said his second 7 years match up with Dan Marino's career, no Super Bowls. And his last 7 years match up with Joe Montana's career, four Super Bowls each. So, you know, yeah, Joe Montana could have been
the GOAT. So just go ahead and admit it, man. Brady's the GOAT.
He has a more accomplished career. Don't get me wrong. Yep, Tom Brady's got it hands down. But with the eye test, I saw Joe Montana play. I think he's just a better quarterback.
Great,
but in
man.
Terms
he
of better
fantastic.
Career, yeah, Tom Brady's got it. No problem.
Ray in Seattle, you're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Ray?
Hey, gentlemen, how are you? Thank you for having me on the show. I just want to say that, you know, Joe Cool, been a 49er fan all my life. Joe Cool, he was, you know, the epitome of a quarterback and what a quarterback should be. But, man, Tom Brady, man, I have to swallow the pill. Tom Brady's the man, and I think Joe knows it, and he would never talk bad about it, you know, but he knows it. Deep in his heart, he knows it. That's all I got on that.
Good call.
Ham in New Jersey, you're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Ham?
What's up, fellas? It kills me, you know, I started off hating Brady, but I just think after the last title, it's over. He's the GOAT. And the thing about it is, it's not fair to ask Joe Montana because it's disrespectful. But, you know, even when they used to ask Michael back in the day, he would always praise the ones that came before him, even though he knew that he was the GOAT. So I just think it was the politically correct thing that he did. But, you know, seven, it's hard to say, you know, because when we argue about LeBron and we always bring up Jordan 6, then we got to be consistent because, you know, Brady has 7, man. It's just, that's crazy.
He's got more than any other franchise.
Oh.
I mean, that's crazy. That's nuts. And been to more than any other franchise. So it's just, it's a crazy resume. There's no denying it. Is that it?
That's it.
All right, so, there it is. Tom Brady, Joe Montana, and Rob, are you – the New Orleans Pelicans are always on TV. Have you noticed that like, I feel like – because I always got the games on during the show. I feel like they're on national TV more than any other team. And they're
well, they
on
they
now.
They were getting something with the – Zion, and they wanted to, just like they tried to get him in the playoffs. That's the NBA does that. They think they're the hotness, and they got Zion and these other young players and thought they were going to do something. So you get a steady an overdose on the Pelicans if they deem you to be a team that moves the needle and people want to see.
I brought them up because they are putting in a clunker, a stinger. Now, Miami is playing much better. The Miami Heat are coming on, and so they're probably a better team than the Pelicans. But it's 35-20 right now, early in the second quarter. And I bring it up because the Pelicans seem like they had a little something going, right? There was Zion was on a roll. They put the ball in his hands more, and he's named to the All-Star team. And it seems like they're rolling, but like a typical young team, they have lost 3 of their last 4 games. And if they lose this game, it'll be 4 out of 5. And I just think that's youth. Like, not understanding a season. You want to go into the All-Star game strong. You got something going. You're playing well. You're moving your way into playoff contention. Because remember, you just have to finish in the top 10 now, right, to get into the play-in. And they are ending this first half with a clunker. And it's going to be interesting to see what they do over the second half of the season, because this is not a good way to end it. That's for darn sure.
Yeah, it hasn't been a good season, to be honest, for them. They don't play defense. I mean, I looked at the game they played last night. They came back at the second, came back late to make it look respectable, but they were down big.
They were
big.
Getting blown out, right.
Yeah, they were down big. So you don't play defense.
To Chicago.
Get out rebounded. Yeah, I mean, they're getting killed in the paint with Zion, you know, on their team when they should be dominating the paint. A lot of things are not good, but the defense, not playing defense, has been constant, and you're not going to win.
Yeah, it is. That's for darn sure. It's interesting because some teams are rising. Dallas is on the rise. They've been playing great ball lately. They've moved into the eighth seed ahead of Golden State. I wonder if Denver will make a push in the second half. If Denver was the second or third seed, Nikola Jokic might be at the top of the MVP discussion. He's got the highest PR in NBA history right now. But they've been disappointing. It's not just that they're the seventh seed. It's that they were in the conference finals last year, and now you're the seventh seed. So they got a lot of work to do over the second half of the season. Obviously, you'd be watching the Suns, too, who are the second seed, to see if they can keep it up. I'd be shocked if they finish with the second seed. But they're playing well right now. All right, we got Randy Mueller, former NFL Executive of the Year, coming up. We got so many things to ask him with all of the quarterback turmoil going on in the NFL. But first,
be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Former NFL Executive of the Year, now the host of the Football GM podcast. We're pleased to welcome in Randy Mueller. Randy, welcome to The Odd Couple.
Good to be with you guys. Hope you're doing good. How's it going
yes,
tonight?
Yes, we are. All good. Good to have you on. So much to talk about, especially from an executive's position with what's going on in the NFL. All right, let's start in Seattle. Russell Wilson says he doesn't want to be traded, but yet he gives the team four clubs that he would be willing to be traded to. It just seems like he wants out. What would you do if you're the GM in that position? What would you do if that's you?
Well, when my head stops spinning with all the messages that him and his agent are sending, I'd probably have to sit down and have a little visit with him. I know that. Here's the thing. And Russell had me. I was with him until he put out that last statement about, I don't want to be traded, but if I am, here's the four teams.
Right.
And if you analyze those four teams, it makes no sense. None of them make any sense other than a couple of them are big market teams where I can work on my brand, where I can work on some other things outside of football and have better masses and better numbers. So from a football standpoint, those other options really don't make any sense to me. So it just tells me there may be something up with him. Maybe it's some advice he's getting from outside. I think from this standpoint, he was frustrated by the season, the way it ended. He saw Tom Brady kind of get his way in kind of a reconstructed Buccaneers team that he had something to do with, and I think he felt a little left out. So that's why he voiced his opinion early on. But it's gone on and on enough to where it just doesn't make a lot of sense what he's trying to do. He may want out, but the Seahawks aren't going to let him out, not at a $39 million cap hit. I know this has happened a couple times in the league, but it's not the new norm. It's not going to happen.
How about the Steelers? To me, Big Ben just doesn't look like he's trending downward. You know, the season blew up. They were 11-0, but they really even weren't that great even when they were 11-0. I didn't think so, at least. But anyway, what did you think of what the Steelers did? Some people always say it's better to let go a guy a year too early than a year too late, or is it just that they didn't have any other real options?
Well, I think it's a little bit of all the above, Rob, to be honest with you. I agree with you on your assessment of their team. I don't think they're ready for prime time. Here's the thing. it was clear to me that they didn't have a plan of succession, right? They didn't. And so, yeah, Ben takes a $5 million haircut. But the fact that the Steelers were willing to push some money off cap-wise into 2022, that's a mistake in my mind. I don't think I want to credit card a bunch of charges out on a tab that Big Ben may not be there to collect on. But it also tells me that they don't have the guy on their roster that they feel great about, whether it's Dwayne Haskins, whether it's, you know, the kid from Oklahoma State that they've tried to give the job to. These guys just haven't panned out. So they got to have a plan before they can move forward. And this was more like a punt to me. They just punted because they had no better options. And maybe the following year they'll have a better plan.
I'm sure their dream scenario is that, you know, Haskins obviously got some talent, but he's immature. Yep. They get him in their building for a year around their culture, backing up Big Ben. And they're hoping that, hey, maybe he'll, you know, he'll mature. And a year from now, he'll be ready to take the reins. Do you see enough, and just from talking to people around the league and your eye test, do you see something in Haskins that tells you he could maybe in a year or two be a starting quarterback for a team? Or do you think that ship has sailed with him?
I'll tell you what, Chris, I saw skills, no question. And I didn't think his play on the field is what got him run out of D.C. I just don't think that was the case. It was the immaturity. It was the off-the-field stuff. It was the lack of intangibles and the leadership stuff. Maybe the light comes on for him, but I think from a physical skill set standpoint, he showed enough to where I would take a chance on the kid. I was surprised they took a chance that quickly, but that kid's going to have to change. He's going to have to wake up and mature. I think there's something there for somebody, but he's going to have to do all the other things that come with playing the position that he hasn't shown he's capable of at this point.
Dallas, the way that they've handled the whole thing with Dak, I mean, help me understand, if he's really your quarterback, the longer you don't pay him, it's going to cost you more as time goes on, so they would have been better off to just do it and then to make him happy. He wants 4 years, you want 5 years, you probably could have, if you really wanted to make your quarterback happy. What do you make of this? Because Dak wants 40-some-odd million and coming off an injury. They really haven't won anything the last couple of years. I'm confused as to, do they really want Dak or not?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think, to put it in a nutshell, the whole thing's been a train wreck for me. I haven't understood the Cowboys' moves as they've gone through this. And it's been documented, it's been a struggle. I think they're getting close to a point when, if I was running the Cowboys, I might think about moving Dak.
See, because I agree with that.
I'm not willing to step up and pay him. And two, I'm not sure how bad he wants to be there at the end of the day anyway. And here's the other thing. He's going to get money that puts him in with the elite people, the elite players at his position. And I don't begrudge him that. He's played the system where he has to get paid really on his terms, which doesn't happen very often. But if I'm the Cowboys at some point, I also want to put a team around him. And I'm not sure paying good with great money is a smart business deal either. If I can find a taker for him, I might be looking to get well. And I don't want to take a big step back at quarterback, don't get me wrong. But I would sure have to consider some other options before I paid Dak Prescott $40 million. That just doesn't make sense to me.
Well, that's my question. I'd like your opinion on this too. I would trade him in a heartbeat for Russell Wilson if I could. I don't think that could happen. But what are your thoughts on that? But also, is there something out there realistic? I mean, I don't know, Sam Darnold. Is there a move out there they could trade him for and get a comparable quarterback in return?
I think you hit on one. I think the Sam Darnold whole scenario is the key to all the linchpin of all these quarterbacks, to be honest with you. I think, and again, it depends on what the Jets decide to do, but I do think that would be an option. I don't think the Russell Wilson deal can work out cap-wise, just because we're in such a reduced cap in COVID times. Maybe a year from now it might. But the Seahawks have $7 million under the cap available. They'd have to create another $10 million just to trade him and take Dak's deal on at some point. So I just don't think that's realistic. But I do think the Jets are in the power position right now. They can make a deal for that number two pick if that's what they want to do, or they can keep Sam Darnold and decide to move back from that number two spot. And that might figure into something that makes sense for Dallas. So that's definitely a spot. I don't know where Atlanta is in the mix. I can't imagine – They're up against it cap-wise, but they don't have their situation solved for the future either. So there's a couple different scenarios that might play out, but I do think that the Jets are going to hold the key for the next few weeks as to how the direction of these quarterback dominoes fall.
One last question for me. When the Jets general manager came out publicly, you know, I don't get it. Like it was like he's sending up smoke signals to tell you, okay, right, call me, please. With the Darnold thing, because first of all, to have a press conference and say he's our guy, but you guys can call me and I'll take the phone call doesn't make any sense to me. Number two, any general manager with any kind of sense knows the Jets have a quarterback in hand and then have the second pick. So there is an option there, and the general manager you currently have didn't pick Sam Darnold. So I don't need to send out a smoke signal to tell GMs to call me. Am I right, Randy, or am I missing this?
No, you're 100% right. I think he probably showed a little inexperience there, and he's only been on the job a couple years, so he hasn't had his deal-making hat on for very long. But I think from what I find from Joe Douglas is he's a scout by trade. He wants to sit in a room and figure out his players and pick guys, you know, to build his team around. But the other aspect of that general manager's job, especially in New York, is you have to be a deal maker. And I really miss that part of it, especially this year, because there's a lot of deals to be had. He's got to be wheeling a deal. He's got to be Monty Hall, right? Let's make a deal. And so he doesn't have to talk about it. It's all there. He just has to be able to process the information and then have the guts of a burglar to actually pull the trigger on some things. They're in a great spot in New York with the cap availability they have and the second pick to make some moves and get that team well in a hurry. But he's going to have some deal-making acumen and some business sense to make it happen.
Randy, last thing. In Houston's got all the leverage in terms of, you know, Deshaun Watson would have to retire not to play there or sit out, and they still would have his rights for 4 or 5 years if he were to retire and try to come back. But I still think at the end of the day, they're going to have to trade him, because even though you could prove a point to him if he retired, you still wouldn't be helping your football team. So do you think that's the way this ends, in a trade, or is there another situation you could see happening?
Well, I've been this way from the start, Chris. I wouldn't trade the guy. I don't care what anybody says. I would sit on it. I think it sets bad precedent for your club. I think any time – and again, I like Deshaun Watson. I don't have any animosity toward him at all. But I would find a way to make it work, and I would not trade him. He's going to have to – at some point – and this never got talked about the first couple months because all you heard was from the player and the agent standpoint – but he's going to be subject to some fines, some salary reductions, some guarantees on his deal are going to go away if he doesn't show up. You said it. There's going to be a lot of financial ramifications to him not wanting to play. If he doesn't want to play, I feel bad for him. He can sit out, but if he's going to play for anybody, it's going to be for us, even if he has to sit for a year or two, which, as we know, never works out.
So would you, if you're the Texans and he said he's sitting for a year or two, do you look at it like, well, we just get this extra money that we weren't planning on having?
And 100%. You know, 100%. I'm not even shaking my head at it. Again, I want him on our team, don't get me wrong. But if that's what he elects to do, so be it. I think that's their only stance, and it's the only one that's going to hold water. And I think in the long run, they're better off. The other thing is his contract tolls. So that contract's never going away. And what I mean by toll is it just keeps getting pushed out year after year. He doesn't expire a year if he doesn't show up. So there's just a lot of penalties in there for him to sit out. I feel bad for him. But it wasn't a bad deal when he took the $120 million or whatever it was. He wasn't dissatisfied then. So they do have to keep communicating and work it out. But I think he is, if he's going to play, it's going to be for the Texans.
Wow. This is going to be interesting. Great stuff, Randy.
Thanks,
Mueller.
Randy. Have a great
former
night.
Executive
Thank
of the
you.
Year. Yes, excellent stuff, Randy. Thank you.
Appreciate it, guys.
All right, more iCouple coming your way. Jim Boeheim sounding off. Keep it locked.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Was 2020 full of dings, dents, and scratches? Your tax refund and Mako can help. Refresh your ride with your refund at Mako to undo a little bit of last year. Head to Mako.com to get a free online estimate today. Uh-oh, better get Mako.
All right, it is the Odd Couple, Chris and Rob, wrapping up a TV theme song Thursday. We're coming to you live from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio Studios. Call Farmers today for a quote. All right, Jim Boeheim is in a little bit of hot water. A little bit. Last night after a win, he took a jab at a reporter. And this reporter had tweeted, I guess a few weeks ago, that if Boeheim had been playing two players, he named them, I can't remember their names, but if he had been playing these two players who are reserves more minutes, that the Syracuse Orangemen would have a much better record. And Boeheim took a shot at that guy last night. Do we have sound of it, Rob G? All right, here it is.
If I had played Jesse and Kadari, we'd probably be 22-2 now. I just didn't see that. And I couldn't figure that out by myself after 45 years. I need a reporter to figure that out who's never played basketball and is 5'2".
Rob, I know you want to go at this.
It is what it is. I mean, Jim Boeheim, how about one championship in 45 years at Syracuse with all the players that have come through? How about that? And if it wasn't for Carmelo Anthony in that magical one season, that speaks for itself. So, yeah, after 45 years and one championship, you do need help from reporters. And to make a joke about somebody's height and all that, what does that have to do with anything? A reporter is there to give his opinion and to give and to have observations on the team and talk about what's going on and what he sees. That's his job. It doesn't mean that he's right or you're wrong or whatever, but that's his job. That's what he's supposed to do. So this is typical Jim Boeheim. 45 years, one championship. What and if Carmelo had never showed up there, he'd have none.
Yeah, I'm not going to rip Jim Boeheim's record. I think he's a good coach. He's had a storied career and all that. This was a mistake. This was him letting his emotions get the best of him. He was wrong. As you said, he was wrong to take a jab at this reporter, and he certainly was wrong to say something about his height. I don't know if that's how tall the guy is or not, but it was straight up wrong. All right. However, people sometimes public figures, they get tired of being criticized. And I'm not saying it's right. Like I said, he was wrong. I felt the same thing when LeBron James was in the finals after the Dallas loss. And he said, hey, people can go back to their lives and their regular lives. And I'm going to be, well, LeBron was wrong for saying that. But sometimes you get tired of being criticized. I try to put myself in, if I was in Boeheim's shoes, I'm not saying I would have done this, but I can understand how you get tired of guys, you know, ripping you or saying this or that.
Go work at the post office and nobody will rip you.
No, I mean, I'm not saying he's right, Rob. He's a human being, though. And he made a mistake. He should pay for it, whether it's, you know, whatever they decide to do. But people do, a player, a coach, sometimes they're gonna take a shot at somebody that's ripping them. And they're going to pay the price. LeBron paid the price. Jim Boeheim's paying the price. So you're not going to get away with it. But I can just understand if you feel like you're getting the short end of the stick and, you know, you feel like people are unfairly criticizing you, even though they're not unfairly criticizing you. That's how you're taking it. Then sometimes you just say the wrong thing. You know, that I just think that's how it is. But he was wrong. Don't get me wrong. And he will, the criticism, I don't know if there will be any other punishment, but he will get taken to task for this, as he should.
I just don't understand. They act like he's brand new, like he doesn't understand the job. The guy didn't say anything personal about him or his family, Chris. He just said he don't think the team would be better if the other two guys played. Is that really the end of the world?
No, seriously. But you know, I mean, I think you've probably reacted to people on Twitter. I've reacted to people on Twitter social media. You know, nobody likes being criticized.
Nah,
well, you block them. You just block them. But
I block I block people who use who either misquote me or use language that I'm not going to tolerate. Those are the only people who get blocked.
Well, you get emotional at times. You get emotional at times, whether it's even this show. And so people are human. He was wrong. He made a mistake. He'll pay the price. But, you know, people make mistakes. People get tired sometimes. Players, coaches, people in the public eye, and they lose it, and they say the wrong thing sometimes. And that's what's happened with Jim Boeheim. All right, it's the Odd Couple, Chris and Rob, signing off. We will see you guys tomorrow. Enjoy Jason Smith and Mike Harmon next. Peace!